found on page 898. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old or under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ros. Great. Let's pray then as we look at some difficult things in here, but well worth looking at. Father God, do thank you for your word, Lord. Particularly this time of year when it really comes to life. So please teach us through this passage, Lord. Help us to understand what it means to us today as well. Amen. Great. One of the beauties of Christmas, of course, is knowing that the Saviour has come to do the will of the Father. He's come to save all those that the Father has given to him to save. And Christmas is a time of joy because we understand our helplessness and our complete dependence in a Saviour. Our salvation is completely tied up in Jesus, completely dependent on him. Message of the Bible, in many ways, is no Jesus, no hope. Not less hope or reduced hope or a frustrated hope. Literally zero chance of salvation without Jesus. Reminds me of a famous joke. I don't know if you've all heard it. Irishman, Scotchman, Englishman, and a Welshman all on a long-haul flight, jumbo, four engines. And halfway through the flight, captain comes over and says, "I'm sorry, but we've just lost engine number one. But don't worry, we've got three others, and it's just going to add 20 minutes to the flight." "No, okay, that's not a problem." Then half an hour later, captain comes on again and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, you might have heard a noise. We've lost engine two as well now. We're down to two. But don't worry, we've got plenty of thrust left. That's going to add another half hour." And so they're getting a bit worried. But the three of them aren't too bothered. And the Irishman's just busy asleep. And the third engine goes, and the pilot goes, "I'm so sorry about this. It's really embarrassing on behalf of our airline. We've lost the third engine now. We've got one left. That's fine. It's going to get us across the Atlantic, but it's going to add another half hour." And at this point, the Irishman wakes up and he says, "I don't believe this. If we lose the fourth one, we're going to be up here all night." This is not the case with Jesus. Jesus is not one of four engines, which if you lose one, you've got three other options. Jesus is the only option. Jesus is not only all four engines, the plane, but he's the air, and he's the law of thermodynamics and gravity, and all the understanding given to the engineers that design that. Jesus is everything, all wrapped in one. There is no hope without Jesus. And what we see from this passage is that our salvation is utterly secure in him, because God is secure looking after him. Jesus, our Saviour, is secure because he is looked after. And if God gives this attention to the Christ, the Saviour, looking out for him, protecting him, then by extension, he's giving that same attention to us. Jesus is equally safe in God's hands as this baby, which means we are equally safe in God's hands. Because the only reason he's come is to gather the people given to him. And if God puts that much effort into protecting him, then by extension, that same protection is given to us. And this is what we're seeing happening in this little passage. And what you'll see in this passage is a great symmetry. There's a pattern that develops in this. A pattern where a message is given to Joseph. Joseph obeys. The child is safe. And scripture is fulfilled. And what we also see within this, in the middle, what forms the contrast is Herod sticks out like a sore thumb in this account. But have a look at the pattern. See if this pattern can come apparent to you as you see as they flee to Egypt. Let's pick this up from verse 13. So this is after the birth of Jesus. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So they got up. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So did you see the pattern there? We see this angel comes to Joseph in a dream. He gets the message. Joseph obeys the message. The child is safe. And we see scripture fulfilled. A little passage there from Hosea. Your footnotes should pick that out in the bottom of your Bibles. I don't know if it does it in those ones. But here's this pattern. God is in control. God even said that this is going to happen. And then the attention turns to Herod. So they're fleeing off to Egypt. And the attention in the story now turns to Herod. What's the foil of this story look like? Verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Herod has been outwitted, foiled. He realizes that he's been made to look like a fool. And what's he do? Well, in an unrepentant, proud move, he orders this murderous rampage. Just to be sure, just to hedge my bets, I'm going to wipe out every toddler in Bethlehem. Give himself 12 months leeway, depending on what time the Magi had said. All this just to protect his position, who he is. And of course, he fails, doesn't it? The plot fails. Sure, people die. This is the reality. People die, but his plan to kill Jesus fails. He cannot disrupt God's plans. And the most amazing thing we see in this, even this was according to scripture. Verse 17, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Scripture is even fulfilled in that. And here we see straight away, this is why John talks about Jesus being the light of the world. Straight away we see this clash between the light and the darkness. The darkness is desperate to overcome the light, but it cannot. Darkness can never overcome light. Jesus is the light of the world, and there's nothing the world can do to stop him carrying out his mission of saving. God is keeping our Saviour safe so that we will be safe. Back to Joseph now. Back to Joseph, and he gets another message. And we see the same pattern from verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. See that same pattern. Message to Joseph. Joseph obeys. Child is safe. According to Scripture. All according to Scripture. What do we mean by Scripture was fulfilled? Scripture is fulfilled. Let's try and work this out. Right then. This is Scripture. Okay? You see this works. Lillian, do you want to play? You open that one when I say. So, Percy, I want you to choose one of these, red, I don't know which one, red, yellow, and blue. Okay? You can pick any one. And then open up, see what colour it tells you. That one, okay. What colour have you got in there? Blue. Right, open yours up, Lily. What did Scripture say would happen?
Let's hope this works.
Blue will be chosen. That's as simple as that. So the Scripture was written first, before the choice. God knows everything that is happening. This is all to fulfill his plans. Nothing happens outside of his control. God protects our salvation because he protects our Saviour. And if God is in control of our Saviour, then you can rest assured that he's in control of us. And our safety is utterly guaranteed. Our salvation is fully tied up in Jesus, and nothing can take that from us. And what's more, Jesus, now because he's safe, he's gone to Egypt, he's come back. Of course, he's now reigning as Lord of all creation in heaven. And he will come back to collect those who belong to him. And there's nothing we need to worry about, if we're trusting in him, that can stop that happening. We are safe with him. Yet the problem is, we don't live in a safe world, do we? The world is dark and corrupt, and it's full of all sorts of hardships and suffering. So the question is, if we're so sure that we're safe with Jesus, what does that mean to us now? But any one of us could walk out there and be hit by a bus. Well, not a bus here, because there aren't any buses here. They've taken them all away. But some rogue horse has escaped, could plough into you the moment you walk out. What does it mean to be safe in Jesus? What can we make of the world now to not make us scared? The first thing to remember is life is full of hardship. Life is full of hardship. That's the reality. Suffering and hardship is not a sign of abnormality. It's not a sign that something's gone wrong with us. It's a sign of reality in a fallen world. This world is corrupted. This world loves darkness and hates light. It loves falsehood and hates truth. And we've seen in this, haven't we? The joy of Jesus being born with the shepherds and the wise men is quickly being wiped out by this need to race off to Egypt because Herod is going to wipe all the little boys out. This is what life is full of. We have huge joy, and then something might just whip that away. What on earth do we cling to? How do we hold on to the roller coaster of life? Especially when we think we're just tiny little specks on this planet. What control do we actually have on this whole world? Very little. So we've got to cling to something. Of course, the easy answer is to cling to Jesus. Why do we cling to Jesus? Because we're clinging to the one who holds the whole world. If he's holding the whole world in his hand, and that is nothing to him, then you can rest assured that holding one of us safely in his hands is just as easy. And he knows what we're going through. One of the whole reasons that he came as a baby was to live with us, amongst us, to suffer with us, and eventually to suffer for us. He knows what life is like. He knows that this is a fallen, broken world. This is why he came, to show that there is a way out. There is an answer to all this. And that's why we cling to Jesus. But of course, one of the dangers of Christmas is that we make Christmas so special that we forget Jesus for the rest of the year. This is the great line that we see in the Christmas carol. Remember that the spirit or the ghost of the Christmas present, one of the key lines in this, what he said to Scrooge. So it is true of the child born in Bethlehem. He does not live in men's hearts one day of the year, but in all the days of the year. That's the challenge of Christmas. Once all those festivities are gone and they've got that horrible lull going back to work and then your credit card bill arrives, what do you cling to when the world starts throwing everything it can at you? You cling to Jesus because you are safe with him, because he is safe in the Father's arms. The second thing is that there will always be Herods. There are always Herods. Always will be, always going to be. And again, Herods are not a sign of abnormality, but of reality. So we shouldn't be naive to think that the world is going to sort itself out. And eventually there will be no rulers or tyrants like Herods. All people are sinners, and all of us fall short of perfection. But while we're all sinners and we will all face judgment, the Bible's clear that there are degrees of sin and degrees of which people are willing to go to be evil. Jesus said to Pilate, when Pilate was giving him that trial, Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above," reminding him of who's really in control. But he also then goes on to say, "Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." The reality is that some people are capable of more evil than others. And there's always been Herods right through time. And they all resemble each other and all have one goal in mind, is to protect their position. And this is the deceptive nature of it. They don't use those tactics to get into power, but it's always to protect themselves once they're in power. There's always been Herods. But the key thing is that the Herods never win. They come and go. Evil people exist, but their plans can't foil what God has already laid out. So we don't need to be discouraged when we see Herods and various rulers like that come and go. The worst thing that we could possibly see them do has no bearing on your salvation, because you are safe in God's hands. And then lastly, picking up on this repeated theme, Scripture will be fulfilled. Scripture will be fulfilled. We're seeing throughout this, this is one of the key repeating elements of this. According to Scripture, according to Scripture. Scripture says that we are safe with Jesus. Our salvation is 100% tied up with Jesus. It's 100% guaranteed. Can never fail. Why? Because Scripture says your sins are forgiven. Do you want to read these
two out?
Scripture says, in the clearest way, your sins are forgiven. What's yours say, Amy? Your sins are forgiven. That's how we know we're safe with Jesus. Because he's declared your sins are forgiven. According to Scripture. Your sins are forgiven if you are trusting in what Jesus has done. That's all we need to know. That's what guarantees our safety. The only thing that can stop us being with God forever is our sin. And if he's dealt with that because we've repented him and we're trusting in him, then we are safe forever. God ensured a saviour would come according to Scripture. God ensured that that saviour would carry out his plan according to Scripture. And God says he will come to collect those he saved according to Scripture. Your sins are forgiven. Which is why Jesus at Christmas time lives in us throughout the year, every year. The joy, the aim of being a Christian, a Christ follower, is to capture the joy at Christmas and having that right through the year. If we woke up every day telling ourselves, my sins are forgiven, I have nothing to fear, then almost every day would feel like Christmas. That's the reason to rejoice. And if we're rejoicing in our forgiveness, then we'll realise what the world could throw at us becomes so small. The world loses its power. And we become bolder in our faith. We can take greater risks. We can stand out more for him. Because we know we're safe in Jesus, because he is safe with the Father. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray that if we receive one thing this Christmas time, it would be complete confidence and assurance of our forgiveness in you. Lord, we've seen that you kept our Saviour safe so that he could save us. Lord, if our sins are forgiven, then we are safe with you, and there's nothing the world can do to take that away. No matter what pain we go through, what suffering, no matter what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears, nothing can take away our salvation in Jesus. So Lord, help us to cling to that tighter than anything else. And help us to daily reassure ourselves of those promises in your word, knowing that your word will never, ever fail. Amen.